Well, Debbie and I just got back from a great mission trip to Scotland, of all places. You know, we've made some trips to places like Mexico and Guatemala and Africa, and this time we got to go to Scotland. I'm going to let Debbie start and tell you her impressions of our trip and what happened. I tell you, it was a wonderful trip. The Lord really blessed. We really loved Scotland. Scotland is a beautiful place, and it's a very old place. You get the idea. I mean, all the buildings have streaks that look like the buildings have been there for hundreds of years, and most of them have. Some of them even have moss growing on the roofs and the downspouts and all over. I mean, it just, everything looks ancient and old. When you look around, all these beautiful rolling hills, very green, every pasture it seems like is filled with either sheep or cattle or horses or something. It's very much a land of farmers and ranchers and of very rugged people. Let me give you a couple of impressions real quick before we get Debbie to join us. When we first arrived and we're checking into our hotel there in Dumfries, Scotland, there was a Scottish lady that was checking in. She was probably in her 70s, kind of a short, stout-looking woman. So the clerk looked at this woman, told her, "I need a credit card," and this woman looks back in shock, like, "Credit card? I would never use a credit card. I pay with cash." And so they worked through how she was going to pay for a room. And then the clerk says, "Okay, your room is on the third floor, and the lift is just around the corner." And about that time, this woman interrupts her. Now, you know, lift is the Scottish word for elevator. And so anyway, this lady interrupts her right away. "Lift? I would never take the lift. I will take the stairs." And she had two pretty good-sized suitcases. And she just reached down and grabbed those two suitcases, and off she goes up the stairs. And we noticed while we were there, boy, this is a rugged people. They're used to hardship and getting through hardship and difficulty. Let me encourage you, if you've been wanting to go on a mission trip with us, this is your chance. When we go back to Scotland, go with us, because it's not nearly as rugged as some of the stuff we've been on. Well, Debbie, why don't you come up and share some about what the Lord did, and then I'll share some of what I saw.
My impressions of Scotland. First of all, I wanted to kind of give a little background on how we were invited to Scotland. We have some friends. Their names are Prestridge, Paul, and Linda. We have known them for many years from Texas, and they're very instrumental in what we're doing today, actually, and they got us started going on missions. Paul is a man of God. He's full of the love of Christ, and Linda, too. She's a good teacher, and he's a good preacher. When he goes into an area, he only goes if he hears the Lord calling him to that area. Like one time he was praying and the Lord told him to go to India. And he didn't know why he would go to India or what he was going to do in India, but he just sat in a hotel room and he was praying, and unbeknownst to him, there was a group of people praying that the Lord would send them someone who would give them the word of God. And the Lord told them, "Go to this room at this hotel, and there's a man praying there, and I want you to go and get him." So they did, and Paul was taken. He wasn't sure whether to go with these men or not, but he went with them and went to this meeting and was able to share for about 3 or 4 days the word of God with these people and saw many, many miracles. Well, again, he was praying, and he said, "Lord, where do you want us to go now?" And the Lord said, "Go to Scotland." And they thought, "Well, what are we going to do in Scotland?" So they went online, and they looked for a charismatic church. They saw a church in Dumfries. Well, they went over to Scotland. They found Dumfries, and they went to the library to look up this church and where to go to find it and what time maybe their services were. And as they were online, the church came up. Well, there was a lady sitting next to them also looking at her church online. And she looked over and saw her church on their screen. And she says, "That's my church." And her name is Jean. Well, they were able to talk with Jean, and Jean connected them with the home group meeting that they were doing. I guess they've gone over there 3 times to minister to this group. Well, they invited us to go along for this trip. And my spirit just went happy. I mean, I got really happy about, I know we're supposed to go to Scotland. So we went with the Prestridges over to Scotland, and we saw and did many wonderful things over there. Saw people baptized in the Holy Spirit. miracles happen in their bodies as we prayed for the sick. So we saw a lot of really neat things. We also, after Dumfries, we went for the weekend to another town called Moffat. Now, Moffat is a place where you can go to a mill for the tartan kilts and patterns. It's a woolen mill. So we go to Moffat, and in this group that we ministered in, there was a lady there. One evening, she asked me the question, well, how do you know that God speaks to you when you prophesy? How do you know that God's telling you to say something? And I said, well, it's a thought that you have. The Lord puts it in your spirit, and you're not always 100% sure that that's what God has given you, but you say it anyway, and if it's not right, you'll know. But usually, if you say it, it's right. She said, well, then I'm telling you that you and your husband will come back, and you're going to stay with me. So when we go back to Scotland, we'll know we have a place to stay with a wonderful lady. Now, one more little tidbit. We visited some friends in London before going home. They took us to our bus that was going to take us to the airport. The bus was running late because of traffic. We get to the airport. As we're going through the check-in procedure and going through security, I had a blouse on that had sequins on it, and it must have set the alarms off, and they had to pad me down. This is the first time on my trip we've had any hindrances or stops or anything. So I got padded down, and then my husband's luggage is going through, and they stop the luggage because there's something in there. So they go through the luggage, and they're looking for this thing, tearing everything out, of course, embarrassing us with our underwear out on the counter and everything. But anyway, they couldn't find it, so they put it through again. And in the meantime, we're late. Our flight is going to be leaving soon, and we're stopped here. It goes through three times, and finally, they found a little thing in his shaving bag, a flashlight, and they said, this must be it. We've never been stopped for that flashlight at any airport, anywhere, but this time we were. So we're running to the gate by now. Well, they held the door open for us, thank goodness. But that meant then that we could get on our next flight. Now, the next flight left from Boston. In Boston, we asked for a seat near the window. Now, this is 3 hours before our flight leaves, and they wouldn't give us a change. Oh, no, the plane is full. We can't change your seats. So we got on the plane. We're in the very back row, and this lady gets on the plane after us, and she had the window seat, so we let her into the window seat. Well, during the flight, I struck up a conversation with this lady, and come to find out, 2 hours before the flight, now mind you, 3 hours, we had asked for a change in seats so we could sit by the window. No, we can't do that. This lady had a later flight that evening. 2 hours prior to our flight, she asked for a change in flight so she could get on this earlier plane, and could she sit by the window? They said, oh yes, we have a seat right by the window. Well, it was the seat right by me next to the window that we couldn't get, but she could get. Well, you know, don't ever get discouraged if you can't get your way on certain things, because God has a plan. He orders our steps. He always has a plan. So relax and let God do what He's going to do. We struck up a conversation, and she was on her way here to Charlotte as well, and she said she had been reading this book by Joyce Meyer, and we started talking about church and the Lord and family and different things. Come to find out, she's seeking the Lord and wanting to find a good church somewhere here. And then I found out about this switch that had been made where she could get on this airplane to sit next to me. And it was just a wonderful time of sharing and encouraging her to stay on the path seeking the Lord, because if you seek, you will find. Well, that was what we call a divine appointment. And I really praise God that we didn't get that window seat, because our divine appointment wouldn't have been there. But the thing that I came away from this trip in all of my experiences was through watching the way Paul and Linda heard from the Lord to find Scotland, and this lady that heard from the Lord that we're going to come and visit her, and the lady that got the seat by the window that sat by me on the plane ride back from Boston. All these things were miraculous. I mean, these were divine things that happened. In the past, I have allowed God to say, go here, go there, do this, do that, and I would be instantaneous in those things. But it encouraged me to say, every day I'm going to seek the Lord and ask, What do you have for me today? Who do you want me to speak to today? How do you want me to act today? Maybe it'll just be praying, because prayer avails much. Or maybe it's to talk to somebody on the phone, or to go visit with somebody. Or maybe I go to the store and somebody's there that needs to hear the gospel. Who knows what God will have for us? But if we don't seek, we will not hear from God. So I'm encouraging myself and encouraging anybody who's listening, seek God daily for the miracles, for the divine appointments, for those things that will be divine in your life.
Yeah, I mean, we really did have the privilege of walking in the miraculous the whole time. I tell you, the Scottish people are probably some of the most patient, congenial people I think I have ever met in my whole life. And maybe it is because they're rugged and because they have a difficult life and they're farmers, just regular people, you know. Everybody went out of their way to be nice to us and to help us. The other thing that you notice is that although everybody seems to be going about their life in a fairly normal way, the spiritual darkness there is just incredible. Like in Dumfries, for instance, it's a town of probably 30,000 people. There are churches everywhere, a lot of them huge churches, but they're empty. I mean, nobody's going to them. And so we ask, well, how many charismatic churches are there in town? Well, maybe 5. Okay, how many people are going to each of those? Well, maybe 50 in each one. This is out of a town of 30,000 people. Oh, man. And I mean, people are so hungry. One night, I taught it was a short message, and afterwards a couple of folks came up to me and said, that was the most powerful message I have ever heard in my life. And I thought, oh man, how sad is it that that would be the most powerful message you have ever... Y'all don't have that kind of preaching and teaching? No, you've got to come back. You need to come back and do a 3-day seminar, and you need to spend some time teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and all. I mean, these folks are just so hungry. They'll go out of their way. They'll say, oh, we know somebody off in Lockerbie, for instance, a town nearby. Remember where the 747 crashed? And so we wanted to go to Lockerbie anyway, just to pray over the place and pray that they'd be able to come into forgiveness and things like that. When we get there, we discover that there have been all kinds of tragedies that have hit that place. They've had foot and mouth disease, and most of the cattle and the sheep died off not too many years ago. The high school burned down with a bunch of kids in it, and they were killed. This airplane crash that has happened. And yet, the people themselves don't really want to forgive. They don't want to humble themselves before God. And there are just a handful of believers in that town. And as a matter of fact, so one of them, they said, oh yeah, we want to take you to Lockerbie because there's a lady there that serves God. And so we meet probably the only person in Lockerbie that's baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we go to her house and we have tea. And she was really encouraged. Just no believers around her. Nobody to share her faith with. No faith community for her to be a part of. And so we started talking to her, we started prophesying over her, and one of the ways that the Lord works with her is by giving her poems. And she had just quit doing that because she was so discouraged. We helped her find a guy that could help publish her poems. Now, they're great poems. They're going to start publishing her poems now on the web. She was just so excited. Then she writes a poem for us and sends it on with somebody else the next day. It was just these kinds of encounters where everywhere we would go, it's like little baby birdies with their mouths open, as they would say in Scotland, wee birdies with their mouths open. And they're just so hungry, and they're just anybody that wants to talk about the Lord and pray with them, man, they're ready. We ministered in several home groups there. And the first home group we ministered in, it was a pretty big crowd, like 15 people. And everybody was real congenial until we opened the Bible and Paul was going to start talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And boy, immediately, the guy whose house this was, he and his wife just start in with, oh no, the gifts of the Holy Spirit stuff, that's not for today, that died with the apostles. And I mean, he just had 100 reasons why there should be no miracles, there should be no speaking in tongues, and speaking in tongues is jibber-jabber, it's of the devil unless it's done right. Okay, well, how's it done right? Well, you know, the purpose of speaking in tongues is so that you could go to a foreign country where you don't know the language, and then you speak in tongues the gospel, and that's how they would get the gospel. I said, well, show me an example in the Bible or in the early history of the church where anybody did that. It just shows that nobody has ever properly used tongues. I just want to do what the Bible says. And so we go to the scripture that says, those who believe will speak in tongues, cast out devils, pray for the sick. Well, that wasn't for everybody. Well, how do you know that if you ask God for the baptism in the Holy Spirit and you start speaking in tongues, how do you know that's not of the devil? And so we show him that scripture that says, if you ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, he will not give you something other than that. Well, that doesn't mean that. And, you know, I mean, it was just one of these things. Wow, this guy is really against anything supernatural. And yet, all the people in the meeting would take a moment to help try to correct him, but he wouldn't have anything to do with it. We finally realized all the other folks there are either filled with the Holy Spirit or interested in being filled with the Holy Spirit, except the couple where the meeting is being held, and apparently they're willing to put up with this guy to try to love him and hope that eventually, someday, he will come to his senses. And he was a nice guy. Afterwards, he asked us to pray for him, right? His wife wants us to pray for healing for him. And it's like, well, just a minute. I thought that was of the devil. He would say, well, yeah, but the devil can heal too. So you shouldn't be praying for people to get healed. But when it comes time to pray, they want us to pray for them to get healed. So, I mean, you know, this is an indication of the spiritual darkness that's there over that place. The next night, we met again at a different house. And there were a group of folks there that were all interested in miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and things like that. And so we were able to see a lot of good things happen. There was one lady that essentially was having hot flashes, and she's about 30. You could see all of a sudden her neck and the sides of her face would just turn almost bright red. She'd be over there fanning herself and stuff. We said, okay, well, let's pray for you. And so we prayed for her over that. And while we were praying for people, one of the people we prayed for, by the way, was this lady that Debbie talked about that wants us to come back and stay at her house. And the reason she was wondering about how do you know if God speaks to you is because there was a word of prophecy for her. It was very specific for her and meant something to her. There was a guy all during the meeting, he had a handkerchief out and he had his face in it like this. And I mean, he was really struggling with the beginnings of a cold. We prayed for that guy, and I'm telling you, the moment that we prayed for him, he didn't cough or sneeze another time the whole night. And then 2 days later, we see him again. And man, he is all well and happy, and God has healed him, you know. The next night, we went to a home where, when we walked in, Paul said something to this lady about, you know, we have just sensed in the spirit that there has been a lot of witchcraft activity in this area. And sure enough, everybody was telling us how much witchcraft there was there in Scotland and how it was still going on. So there may be a lot of spiritual darkness, but there's still a lot of witchcraft going on as well. When he says that, this woman just kind of went ballistic. It was like, what do you mean? Are you telling me there's something wrong with my house? Well, we have preachers come through our house and stay here, and they even missionaries have stayed in our house all night, and now you're telling me that there's something wrong with our house, and what, am I going to have to move or something? I mean, there's spiritual, the devil is in our house. What are you trying to say? And it was like, whoa, how dare you come into my house and make me feel bad? And it was like, whoa, lady, where did all that come from? And it was like, okay, I guess there is some spiritual oppression around here. I guess there is some real demonic activity. And so the rest of us, of course, we start praying immediately under our breath for this lady and for the house. Nobody else is there yet. We're praying that, you know, when they arrive, that demonic activity is going to be gone and the Holy Spirit will be there in its place. And sure enough, after we ate, she was just as if nothing had ever happened. I mean, she was just happy we were there, and we start worshiping and praising the Lord. And then Paul says, I want to share three scriptures about the Holy Spirit. Well, as soon as he said that, remember the couple that was from the other place that didn't believe in any miracles? They had come to this one, too. Now, why would they come knowing they disagree with us? I don't know, but they did. So as soon as Paul says, okay, I want to preach on the Holy Spirit, she goes, oh, I just don't agree with that. And she and her husband left. We thought, woohoo, we are now free. And sure enough, everybody that was there was really hungry for the things of the Holy Spirit. We prayed for, I think it was 7 people that were baptized in the Holy Spirit that night. And there probably weren't 20 people there. We prayed for folks to be healed. One of the ladies had trouble with her back. We had her sit down in a chair, and sure enough, one leg was quite a bit longer than the other one. And what you do is you tell folks, now, close your eyes while we're praying for you. So they don't know which foot is longer or shorter than the other one, which leg. And we have everybody else kind of come around and watch, because a lot of these folks had never seen any miracles before. And so this is kind of an easy way for them to get a chance to see a miracle. And so we start praying for this woman, and sure enough, her feet are like this, and here the one that was shorter starts coming out, growing out. Now she's got her eyes closed, she has no idea how it's supposed to go, and she's sitting in a chair with her back up against the chair. You can't move anyway. And sure enough, here her limbs grow to where they're exactly okay. And everybody's oohing and aahing, and she stands up and bends over. The pain's gone. The back pain's gone. She's okay. And that was just kind of typical of what God was doing there. We spent a lot of time there ministering to a lot of people that had words of prophecy given to them, and every one of them was just amazed. Most of them were crying because they just couldn't believe that God would be so specific. You know, they're wondering, what is it that we know? How would we know those things? And they would realize, well, it's got to be by the Holy Spirit. Now, the last night that we were there, we had an interdenominational meeting in a church where there were probably 35 people there. This was in the town of Moffitt, which is near Dumfries. And again, we had a chance to minister to people. There's some folks that were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Claire came up to us, and she looked like she wasn't feeling very well. Now, Claire is the lady that we prayed for that was having the hot flashes. And she looked like she hadn't been feeling very well. Well, now, two nights before, in one of the meetings, she got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And she was really excited. I mean, she was so excited that the problem was she hadn't slept since then. And so when she comes up to prayer looking kind of haggard, we say, so Claire, do we need to pray for the hot flashes? Oh no, that's gone, she said, very matter-of-factly. I haven't had any sleep since y'all prayed for me last time. You need to pray for me to sleep. And so we prayed for her, and sure enough, the Lord touched her, and I'm sure she was able to sleep. We didn't hear any different anyway. So now, we went from Scotland down to Cambridge, and we thought we would have a couple of days, sort of a vacation, on our way back home. Frank and Mary Beth Watts, he's a chaplain in the Air Force, and they're stationed there at Cambridge. And we thought, well, this would be great. We'll go down there and visit with them some. And it'll be mostly vacation time. Well, it really was mostly ministry time, and kind of like having a seminary short course in church history, because we were able to go into downtown Cambridge, where the old university is and where all of the old churches are, and see some of that stuff. And it was like having church history just come alive. It's sort of like somebody says, well, they went to the Holy Land and the New Testament came alive. Well, this was going to Cambridge, and boy, all the places, you know, where Cranmer was beheaded. The guy that came up with the Anglican prayer book, he actually came up with two versions of it. Boy, the Anglican church was going great. This is a wonderful thing. We're going to have this new denomination. We've broken away from the Roman Catholics. And he's kind of in charge of a lot of parts of it. And all of a sudden, that king dies, and a queen comes in that's Roman Catholic, and she decides she doesn't like the Anglican church anymore, and he ends up getting beheaded. And some of the folks that were beheaded, at some point, they eventually take their body out and then burn them at the stake, you know, so that they can get killed. I mean, some of the church history stuff was just like, oh, man, I'm glad I wasn't in the middle of some of that. It was awful stuff. But one of the churches we went into was built about 1200, and then it was later destroyed probably by some folks that didn't like it, and then it was rebuilt. And anyway, that church, there was a sign at the beginning of that church that said that this church has had regular Sunday morning worship and communion or Eucharist services for the last 600 years. And sure enough, you walk into the place and it's like, no wonder I could feel the presence of God in this place, man. This ground has got to be holy ground. I mean,
you could smell the incense.
Yeah, I was just oozing the presence of God, you know, from the amount of time they'd been there. And so that was very interesting to be able to literally have church history come alive and to see these places that you've just read about. One of them, one of these churches built in the 12 or 1300s, they had some documents out from some of the older times, and one of the documents was a map of Scotland where this church, which was part of the Church of Scotland, they were documenting where miracles had been taking place in the 16 and 1700s. And it was, you know, in this place over here, this guy whose foot was had been injured in a farming accident, God had healed it, and this person over here, somebody had been raised from the dead. I mean, it was a map full of miracles from the 16 and 1700s. So it's not like God hasn't been working in Scotland. It's just like there are not a whole lot of folks right now that seem to want to cooperate with that. There's some, Scotland and England both. But let me tell you the other thing that I thought was interesting about our visit to Cambridge. We did spend a lot of time ministering with the Watts. But one of the things that surprised me was the number of times that they recalled when we had spoken into their lives or the Holy Spirit had spoken through us to them and it had changed their lives. For instance, they said, well, remember that time that we were praying together in church before a service? It was just the four of us, and we were praying for the Holy Spirit to be there for this service. And while we were praying, Dan had a word for Mary Beth, and the word was very simple. I don't even remember giving her the word. The word was, you're not crazy. She said, that changed my life, because I had been thinking at the moment, I'm crazy. And I need to just give up serving God. I need to quit doing what I've been doing, whatever we're doing. It's just all this stuff is just because I'm crazy. And when the Lord spoke that to her, you're not crazy, it was like the light went off. And she goes, oh, it's not me. Maybe it's there are other folks that don't want to receive what God has or whatever it is. And she said, I have been a different person since that day, and I have blossomed and been able to move in God because of that. She said, if you hadn't spoken that word to me, of course, it was the Holy Spirit speaking through me, because I had no idea she was thinking that. She said, if you hadn't spoken that to me, I don't know where I would be today. They had several instances like that, of times where they would see me and Debbie do something, and then that had become an example to them in their lives, and now, they, as they said, our lives are different forever because of that. And I realized, man, just a lot of times we don't know how we're speaking into somebody's lives. Who knows what it is that we're saying and doing and how it's touching someone else's life. And like Debbie was saying, we need to be praying, God, send me on divine appointments. Put in place the opportunity for me to minister and to do miracles and for me to change people's lives. And a lot of times we won't even know that we have done it, but God will know. He will know that he has done something. They'll know. And so the important thing is not, did we get credit for it? Did we even know about it? The important thing is, are we where God wants us to be? So I want to encourage us to do that. And I want to encourage y'all, some of you, to start saving some money. And hopefully real soon we'll go back to Scotland and get the chance to minister there and bring some of y'all with us. They will love it.